Argue, talk, exaggerate, pontificate, just shut up. Why won't you listen? Why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome and good afternoon wherever you are in the United States. Welcome to Spouting Off. I'm your guest host, Dr. Martina Cartwright, filling in today for Karen Cataline, who's out celebrating her birthday this week. So a special and big happy birthday to you, Karen, wherever you are. I'm coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun, Phoenix, Arizona. And that, as you know, is home to John McCain and Jeff Flake. And as you may or may not know, we call Jeff Flake Jeff Snowflake now after his speech last week. And it was interesting because if anyone bothered to listen to him, he was talking a little bit about how it was so unfair and how things are just going wrong in the Republican Party. But what he didn't tell you is that in a preliminary poll, he was down 26 points against his opponent. So that's probably why we're saying goodbye to Jeff Snowflake. Again, my name is Martina Cartwright. You can find me at www.martinacartwright.com. Well, let's begin, and happy Halloween. Lots to talk about in the news today. And so in keeping with the spooky theme, Mr. Engineer, would you play cut one for me, please? Oh, can you think of anything scarier than that? At this time last year, let's think about this. Hillary Clinton thought she was going to be president. And thankfully, things turned the right way in our direction. So I'm actually going to be dressing as Hillary Clinton this year in a business suit and a witch's hat. And instead of giving out candy to the kids, I'll probably be handing out excuses and maybe some uranium. So on today's show, we're going to keep the theme of everything conspiratorial and spooky. We're going to talk a little bit about John F. Kennedy and the recently released papers. We'll talk a little bit about collusion and all things Russia, including a little bit about the dossier, as well as what's been going on with Uranium One and costumes. Yes, the costume police are alive and well on our college campuses. So we have it all today, and we will be taking a limited amount of calls. So if you'd like to call in, please call 888-627-6008. Or you can call directly at 323-744-4831. So let's begin by, I can tell you a little bit about myself since this is my first time hosting Karen's show. I really am a college professor, and I earned a PhD from the University of Wisconsin at Madison in nutritional science and biomolecular chemistry some 21 years ago. So I'm a science geek. And talk about a liberal institution, that was UW-Madison. I spent 5 years there. And since the late 1990s, I've worked in the basic and applied sciences of nutrition, infectious diseases, and believe it or not, post 9/11 military bioterrorism preparedness. So I worked a lot with germs. Now, upon finishing my PhD, I landed in Las Vegas in the late 1990s, where I worked at the trauma unit at the University Medical Center. And unfortunately, any of you have watched the news with the Las Vegas shooter within the last few weeks, have seen the UMC sign there in Las Vegas. It's about 10 minutes from the Strip. And I had the privilege of working in that trauma unit doing research. And one of the individuals I worked with there was named Tom Shires. And that is the Dr. Shires, who was the physician who took care of Lee Harvey Oswald. So that's a topic I'm going to talk a little bit about today in the context of the recently released Kennedy papers. So it should be an interesting time to talk a little bit about what's been released and to maybe get your take on that. Now, at the time I was in Las Vegas, I was also practicing as a dietitian. So what is a dietitian? We are college educated and credentialed nutritionists. So when I first moved to Las Vegas in the late 1990s, I was working in the Department of Trauma doing research by day. And the department received a telephone call and said, do you have a dietitian that can work at nighttime with a group of entertainers? And keep in mind, it's Las Vegas, so we expect weird requests like that. And it turns out the caller was the Cirque du Soleil. So I ended up being the dietitian or the nutritionist for both the O Show at the Bellagio and Mystere, which is currently at Treasure Island. So I had the privilege of working with these young athletes, and they were between the ages of 15 to about 22 from both Russia and Canada. And they spoke Russian and French, so I had to have two different translators to assist me in my work. But it's based on that work with the Cirque du Soleil that I became acquainted with Karen Cataline, your host here for Spouting Off. Karen has written a fantastic book. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, but it's called Fat Lash, Food Police and the Fear of Thin. And I was honored enough to write the foreword for Karen's book. And the funny thing is, when Karen first approached me to do the foreword for her book, the first thing I thought of when I read about her background was she's got to be a liberal. Karen is a trained social worker from the East Coast. And I thought, oh, she's going to be a liberal. It's going to be about banning beauty pageants and banning bad foods and all of those things. And it was funny, during our first conversation, Karen thought the same thing about me. She thought, wow, a college professor educated at UW-Madison? She's got to be a liberal. So we were both very pleasantly surprised that we shared many similar views on liberty, independence, and self-reliance. So we've had many discussions about, you know, liberalism and what's occurring in the culture. And I continue to be an adjunct faculty member at a major university here in Arizona. So I see this firsthand. And frankly, I believe that liberalism is not an ideology, but rather a lifestyle of bad choices. And what I mean by that is that we all make bad choices from time to time, but liberalism seems to promote victimization, or the it's not my fault philosophy. And they tend to shun personal responsibility in many cases, as well as ownership of bad decision. So nowhere have we seen that most notable recently is with the Harvey Weinstein story. I mean, where are all the so-called feminists? They make bad choices, they keep quiet rather than speaking out, and this allows more women and maybe even men to be exposed literally to Harvey's shenanigans. And in news today, I don't know if you were able to view this recently on the New York Post, it was a big story, but this Kevin Spacey matter, where he put the moves on a 14-year-old some 30-some years ago and said, well, I must have been drunk at the time, or I must have been confused. Well, just a few minutes ago, the New York Post said that Kevin Spacey's brother has said, well, our father abused us when we were young. So again, with the excuse making instead of taking personal responsibility. Another story that ties into this is a few days ago, left-leaning Matt Lauer interviewed Corey Feldman, the child star of the Halloween classic, The Lost Boys, asking Corey why he didn't report his claims of molestation at the hands of Hollywood predators to the police. Well, for one thing, at the time, Corey was just a kid. And he did report it to the police, and they weren't interested in that. At the time, they were investigating this Michael Jackson issue. But what's interesting is he's being accused of making stories up and nobody's really believing him. But I, for one, do believe him, especially in light of this Kevin Spacey matter. But the troubling thing is, and it's rubbed people the wrong way, is this idea that Corey Feldman wants $10 million to fund a movie that will name names. So there's a little bit of concern about that. So we'll see how this plays out. But this certainly hasn't been a news short day. So moving on to the news of the week and getting to some conspiratorial topics that include Russia and just about everything, relates to the Kennedy Papers. And that's what we'll begin with. I don't know if how many of you have had the opportunity to look at the National Archives, but the National Archives have released thousands of previously classified documents over the Kennedy matter. And some of them are being reconsidered for release as there are concerns over national security. So that halted some of the documents from being released to the public. But of interest are several interesting things, such as they detail that Lee Harvey Oswald's activities leading up to the shooting were somewhat bizarre, and that there were tip-offs to Kennedy and Oswald's death, including a letter that was sent to a and English newspaper. There's also the CIA efforts to overthrow Fidel Castro by using the Italian mob. So who was Oswald, and do these papers reveal any new information, such as who he was associated with, and what really happened when he was shot? So according to the newly released documents, Oswald met with a Soviet official affiliated with the KGB's assassination department, who knew there was such a thing, just weeks before the shooting of Kennedy. So apparently, Oswald met with this this KGB officer at the Soviet embassy in Mexico City. And this again was released through the documents from last week. And this occurred on September 28th, 1963. And recall that President Kennedy was shot in late November. The call revealed that Oswald had met with the counsel that worked for the KGB and who was affiliated with the department that was responsible for sabotage and assassination. During this call, Oswald did speak some broken Russian, identified himself by name, and asked the guard who answered the phone if there was, quote, anything new concerning the telegram to Washington. So what do we know about Oswald besides the newly released papers? Well, by all accounts, he was a practicing communist. Defecting to Russia in 1959 after a stint in the Marine Corps. Then in 1962, he and his Russian wife returned to the U.S. Now, what's interesting about that is that it started all these conspiracy theorists that have suggested that Oswald was not only working for the Russians, but perhaps there was a tie to the mobsters, the CIA, or even LBJ. So who was responsible for radicalizing and perhaps triggering Oswald to do the deed? That has not been revealed in the most recent papers, but people are hopeful that perhaps newly released papers within the next few years will tell us exactly what Oswald was doing and when. Oswald was being let out of an underground garage during transfer from Dallas City to Dallas County Jail when he was shot by bar owner Jack Ruby. And we all remember this from some of the historical black and white news coverage that have been shown throughout the years on the anniversary of JFK's death. It was speculated by many that Ruby had mob ties and was a very connected hitman, but we still don't have the answer to that either. After Oswald was shot, there was a delay in getting him to nearby Parkland Hospital. And here's where the conspiracy begins. And I know a little bit of knowledge or have a little bit of knowledge about this because I worked with the physician who took care of Oswald. So Parkland Hospital was the hospital in which JFK and Governor Connally were taken to after they were shot. And recent events have shown that getting care quickly saves lives. But this wasn't the case in 1963 with Mr. Oswald. So on Friday, November 22nd, the day Kennedy was shot, my good friend, Dr. Tom Shires, who has since passed away, was giving a lecture down in Galveston, Texas. And this is about 300 miles away from Dallas. Now, keep in mind, Dr. Shires was the head of surgery there at Parkland Hospital. And by today's standards, it's ridiculous to think that your chief of surgery would be out of town when such a high-profile individual would be there. But back in 1963, this was a common practice. So Dr. Shires is down there in Galveston. He's giving the talk, and it was also Dr. Shires' 38th birthday. So when Kennedy was brought in, Dr. Shires was paged on the overhead system, because remember, back then we didn't have cell phones or any other paging system, and that had never happened before. No one ever paged Dr. Shires over the overhead system at Parkland. So in his absence, two other surgeons responded to Trauma Unit 1 and took care of Kennedy. And they were physicians Perry and McClelland. So while all this is going on, an urgent call was placed to Galveston that said, hey, Dr. Shires needs to get back up to Dallas as soon as possible. But back then, there weren't regular flights, and you couldn't just drive from Galveston to Dallas, the 300 miles, very quickly and get there in a reasonable time. So the Air Force dispatched a NASA jet. And within an hour, Dr. Shires was in the operating room at Parkland. But by the time he arrived, Kennedy's wounds had proved fatal, and Kennedy's body was already gone. And again, that is against protocol. So we can see how this could be fodder for some of your conspiracy theorists. So with Kennedy's body gone, Dr. Shires arrived to assist two teams of surgeons working on the chest and orthopedic injuries of Governor Connally and identified that magic bullet that was residing in his thigh. So it was determined that magic bullet was the one that hit not only Kennedy, but also Governor Connally. Dr. Shires remained at the hospital for a few days, unable to contact his wife, who was at home with the children preparing his birthday party. Now, Mrs. Shires was also a physician, so she understood from the TV reports that her husband would not be home that day. So it was in that moment that my friend and former colleague, Dr. Tom Shires, was thrust into a series of historical events that would forever follow him throughout the remainder of his 81 years. His subsequent testimony in front of the Warren Commission and in front of the House Select Committee on Assassinations was critical in establishing that one bullet caused all of Connally's wounds. So he was taking care of Governor Connally, and on Sunday morning, November the 25th, Dr. Shires was in his car on his way home from Parkland Hospital when he heard on the radio that Oswald was shot. So what does he do? He has to turn his car around, go in, get ready and dressed in the ER, and by the time he gets there, he sees a group of doctors and nurses trying to save the life of a patient on the table, and it was Oswald. He had a gunshot wound to his abdomen and was bleeding profusely. In fact, when Oswald arrived, his blood loss was so massive that he was the color of a white piece of paper. There was no color left. He lost so much blood. Now, Dr. Shires, who was a pioneer in trauma care, would provide large quantities of IV fluids to replace the blood loss and try to get his blood pressure up. But the fluids weren't working. So as Dr. Shires told me, he said, I had to open up his chest and physically massage Oswald's heart on the table. And he described it as floppy. And when you have a floppy heart, that means someone has lost so much blood that the heart simply cannot pump any longer. So they massaged it and massaged it again, and after several minutes, Oswald was pronounced dead. Now, here's where it gets sort of conspiratorial. In later years, and this was probably in the early 2000s, Dr. Shires and I were having lunch. And anyone who worked with him was told never ask him about JFK or Oswald. And this was done for a variety of reasons. Frankly, he didn't want his life, you know, defined by that period of time. So what ended up happening is we're sitting there talking and he says, yeah, I took care of Oswald. And it was interesting. I could have saved him if I gotten to him in time. But by the time he was at the hospital, he lost too much blood. They were waiting for an ambulance, and the first one that was sent was a fake ambulance. So at that time, I paused, not really understanding what he was telling me. So not to provide fodder for conspiracy theorists, but this has been discussed in a variety of books about that ambulance. So what is it that's about that ambulance that's so fascinating? Is that the ambulance that arrived was delayed by several minutes. It did come from Parkland Hospital, but the question remains, when Oswald was shot in that garage, why did they take him back to his jail cell? Why didn't they just load him into a car and take him immediately to the hospital? And as far as the quote, fake ambulance goes, there was an ambulance apparently parked outside the garage where Oswald was shot, and this is again according to Dr. Shires, and that they were looking for the keys for that ambulance. And he said it wasn't one of ours. And what he meant by that was Parkland Hospital was the only hospital that provided ambulance service in that area. Now the question remains, would Oswald have survived had he gotten to the hospital sooner? Maybe, because they were using state-of-the-art treatment at the time for trauma patients. But ambulances back in 1963 did not have fluids or paramedics or any of those things. So the cops transferred him back to his cell, waiting several minutes where he bled out, and the ambulance finally arrived, and he ended up on Dr. Shires' operating table. And after an unsuccessful heart massage, He died at about 1:07 p.m. on the 24th. So herein lies some of the conspiracy theories that have yet to be answered in some of the documents that have been released. Was there a deliberate delay in getting an ambulance? Could Oswald have been saved? And if so, to what end? So it's unlikely that any of the documents that will ever be revealed will shed light on this matter, but it's certainly a curious addition to one of the greatest mysteries in American history. So that was my connection with the whole Oswald story. And Dr. Shires has been dead for about 10 years. When we had this discussion, he said, you know, I don't really care who you tell, with his thick Texas accent. He said, people know about this matter, and I doubt that it will ever be addressed. And that was the end of our interesting conversation. So other newly released documents suggest that the CIA wanted to use the mob to take out Castro. This was also discussed in detail in a really interesting book called I Heard You Paint Houses by a former Irish mobster named Frank Sheeran. And I Heard You Paint Houses is a mob euphemism for clean up the scene after a mob hit, which I had no idea what that meant. So Oswald's killing had all the signs of a mob hit, and Jack Ruby certainly had mob ties. And if you are wondering why the mob would care about offing Castro, when Castro took over Cuba, he kicked out the mob-run casinos. And those mob-run casinos predominantly relocated in Las Vegas, my former hometown. So, speaking of Las Vegas, what about that Las Vegas shooter in the news today? There's still no word of a motive of the Las Vegas shooter. What's curious, and it's something that Karen mentioned last week on Spouting Off, is the fate of Mandalay Bay security guard Jesus Campos. Jesus, who was hailed as a hero in alerting authorities to the shooter, headed south of the border just a few days after the massacre. He was gone for a week and then he came back. So why would the authorities allow such a critical witness to the great mass murder in Las Vegas? Why would they allow him to leave the U.S.? So that's curious, to say the least. So here's hoping we get some answers soon. And special thanks to the great trauma staff at University Medical Center in Nevada for saving many, many lives. So after all that seriousness, I think we should talk a little bit about something that just popped on my screen in the way of news. People are getting so fed up with politics and sports. I, for one, am included in that crowd. I have shut off all the NFL games and I won't listen to them anymore. But this just illustrates the people in action. The story that came across today is about a taxi driver in my hometown of Indianapolis, Indiana, where the Colts lost again on Sunday. So an NFL sideline reporter named Peter Schrager got into a taxi in Indianapolis where he had been covering the game, and the driver asked him, hey, what do you do for a living? And Pete answered, well, I work for the NFL. The driver, the taxi driver, immediately stops the car and orders Schrager to get out of the car. Schrager, the reporter, is dumbfounded. He said, I can't believe this. Why would he dump me out of the taxi cab? And this is what he said. The more you talk to fans who are on both coasts, the more you aren't in blue state territory. The real deal, and it's affecting the bottom line, said Schrager. The taxi driver said, we are so fed up with politics in the NFL that we're just done with it. And I will never watch an NFL game again. The NFL is dead to me. So I think that anonymous taxi driver expresses what many of us are feeling right now, is that we are simply done with the NFL. So amongst other things in the news, what about collusion, our next topic? So Mueller has decided to indict Manafort on 12 counts, including conspiracy against the U.S., conspiracy to launder money, an unregistered agent of foreign principals and misleading statements, as well as 7 counts of failure to file reports of foreign bank and official records. Coincidental timing? I don't think so. If you turn on CNN, it would sound like Trump is directly involved with all these activities, but they occurred several years ago. Again, those of us that constantly see the misinformation and the fake news are fed up with this. And as someone who travels frequently and spends a lot of time in airports, I am tired of seeing CNN in the airport. And when I flip through hotel channels, I immediately look for Fox News. However, I had the unfortunate pleasure of only having access to CNN, and it was all Russia collusion all the time, but not against Hillary and not related to Uranium One. No, no, it all had to do with Trump and the dossier that was paid for by our good friends Podesta and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So how about that? All kinds of kooky things in the news. And what about this Uranium One matter? Well, as I said, I'm dressed as Hillary Clinton for Halloween, and I will be passing out excuses and maybe a little bit of uranium. But is there any left? After all, she sold a large stake to the Russians. And while CNN and other drive-by media outlets are trying to distort the truth here, the fact of the matter remains that much of the uranium was sold to Russia. So what's the big deal about this? Well, uranium is used to make nuclear weapons. It can also be used to make electricity, but uranium is a naturally occurring element that's very abundant, but only in certain areas of the world. And those certain areas include places like Kazakhstan, Canada, and Russia, as well as Niger and Australia. So think about that. Some of the countries that have 85% of the world's uranium include Kazakhstan, Russia, and Niger. And Niger was recently in the news as well. So when it's mined, it's only mildly radioactive. It takes a process called enrichment to make it fully radioactive for deadly weapons. That's why we're so concerned about that Iranian deal, because they're probably going to use some of that material, centrifuge it down, which they're not supposed to do, and start making some of those weapons pointed directly at the U.S. But as they say, nothing to see here. Please move along. So on the dossier, what's going on today with the dossier? Well, it turns out that congressional Republicans have called for John Podesta and Debbie Wasserman Schultz to provide further answers about their party paying on the dossier regarding Trump's alleged ties to Russia. So they paid big money for this, but they're denying all involvement. Again, it goes back to that excuse making. It's never my fault. It's never my fault. So we'll see what happens. I don't think that we'll get many answers. And as we know, Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, as well as the DNC, isn't the most honest bunch in the world. And they have the mass media on their side to keep pushing this agenda. And let's not forget that Debbie Wasserman Schultz, information tech guy, recently tried to flee to Pakistan. So who knows what his involvement was in the whole situation. So all of these are conspiratorial and Russian related and extremely interesting and heavy topics, heavy like uranium. But we're going to take a break here in a couple of seconds. And when we get back, we're going to talk about Halloween and lighten the mood a little bit. So, Mr. Engineer, I'll have you go ahead and play our commercial break. And after that, we'll be back talking about all things spooky and Halloween. This is Martina Cartwright on Spouting Off.
I'm Elaine, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale College President Larry Arnn on the importance of the presidential oath of office.
Members of Congress and federal judges take an oath to the Constitution, but the Constitution prescribes the exact words of the oath only for the president. The American presidency was a new and powerful office created at the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Nothing like it existed in any other constitution in history. It was designed to allow certain virtues, decision, activity, secrecy, dispatch, things like that. and they were thought to be essential to executive power, especially in a crisis. But despite this immense power, the president is not so powerful as the Constitution itself. That is why presidents must pledge to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and why it is the duty of the people to ensure that they do so.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To join the national conversation on the Constitution, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your guest host, Dr. Martina Cartwright, in for Karen Cataline. Today, as she celebrates her birthday this week, Karen will be back next week to debate J. Lewis Mills on NFL Anthem Kneelers. It's a must-listen broadcast, so don't forget to tune in next week and listen to Spouting Off, where Karen has a fabulous debate with a guy that believes in NFL Anthem Kneelers. So, after all those serious topics, it's time to get spooky with Halloween. So, I played that Hillary cackle at the beginning, but what could be scarier than that? How about over-regulation of Halloween? Yes, the college snowflakes have launched a campaign called Costumes, Not Culture. Yes, the culture police strike again with their political correctness and attempting to ruin yet another holiday. So this time, it's all about cultural appropriation and a playbook on how not to be offensive. And as I said, I am affiliated with a major university here in the state of Arizona, and many universities have stated they will ban certain costumes because banning, of course, is always the answer, and punish offenders. However, freedom-loving students are fighting back, and I believe that they are in fact suffering from a microaggression. So on the banned list, and this adds to Karen's list from a couple of weeks ago, anything Native American, and that's true even here in Arizona where we have the highest number of Native American lands and reservations. Also anything with a Latin theme, even though tomorrow is Day of the Dead, a Latin holiday. Belly dancers, clowns because they're scary, hobos, which to you in San Francisco are urban campers, Arab sheiks, the wall, and add to the list, Colin Kaepernick, where those costumes have been banned for not only blackface, but also individuals kneeling saying they will stand if paid. So on the list, I don't see anything about beauty pageant contestants with blonde wigs, French maids, ninja, or hillbillies, or even our dear President Trump, because according to libs, it's okay to make fun of a culture they find beneath them. So I understand we have a caller, and her name is Karen. Could it be our very own Karen, Mr. Engineer?
Is this the famous Dr. Martina Cartwright?
Well, hey there. You're supposed to be out celebrating your birthday, sister, or are you in fretting over your costume choice for today.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm going to be dressed as a giant bumblebee, singing operatic, singing telegrams to all the little children instead of giving them candy.
I don't know. How would PETA feel about that? I mean, that's the question. You are dressing as an animal. What about the rights of the bumblebee?
I would like to think that I'm honoring the bumblebee by dressing like him, just as people dressing as a wall, they're honoring the wall. But of course, that's not politically correct.
No, it's not. But hey, you're contributing to the economics of this whole situation, because 48% of American adults plan to wear a Halloween costume, and apparently we're going to be spending $9.1 billion this year on Halloween. Holy smokes, that's a lot.
Holy smokes. Are you allowed to say that on Halloween Day? Holy smokes? I don't know if that's allowed, but I wanted to call in. It is so much fun, the idea to call into my own show and hear you, my dear friend Martina Cartwright, doing such a splendid job filling in. And what an interesting first half hour that you had. I just think it's fascinating the way that you were able to tie all these things together, from Russia to LBJ to Russia to Oswald to Las Vegas to Russia. It seems Russia, 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 kind of like Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Everything's about Russia lately.
Everything's about Russia. I mean, we can't get away from it. Maybe we should dress as Russia tonight. I don't know. Maybe I'll change my costume. Or perhaps I'll go as Bernie Sanders, where I'll take money from the kids and give it to others. And by others, I mean me. So maybe
we need
to do that. Well,
you mean your buddies who will kick it back to you at a later date, to be determined. Right.
Yes.
Do I detect just a little bit of Halloween sarcasm?
Just a
smidge, little bit, right?
Just a smidge. But hey, I wanted to ask you, Karen, about all this over-regulation? I don't know if you've seen some of the rules and regulations that we used to call, back in our day, parenting. So trick-or-treat curfews and no older kids and all these safety groups. What do you think about all that?
I think that it is, calling it overreach is ridiculous. It's beyond that. It goes in line with my theory that the left and the socialists merely want to take over the role of parenting and make parenting and parents obsolete. And that's part of the whole plan of growing government to the point where it's in every aspect of your life. We need to push back on that, because after all, the Democrats, they used to be the guys that believed in freedom and liberty. When you and I were a little younger, they were always talking about if it feels good, do it, and sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and don't trust anyone over 30, and be a rebel. And all of a sudden, that same left are now the dictators. They're now the man that they'd been protesting against. Now they're that guy. Interesting, isn't it?
It truly is. And I got into a heated discussion with a lefty who is in that age range. And I said, you know, you were a draft dodger, essentially, and a protester back in the 60s, and proclaimed the government as the enemy. But yeah, now you're for single payer systems for insurance and everything else. What's up with that? And he said, well, it's because we can do it better. And I thought, no, you can't. In fact, who says that you're better than anybody else in controlling my life? I know what's best for me, as most parents do for their kids, or at least I would hope so. And,
that's,
you know,
the classic. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, this leads to messages about candy being unhealthy by these liberals. So now they want to ban the type of treats that you give out. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? That's the kind of hypocrisy that they're part of. That's what we've always heard from socialists/communists. And that is, even though it has never, ever worked, every time it's been tried, it has always led to genocide, it has always led to tyranny, they always believe, usually the young, that if we would just be in charge, if they would just put us in charge, we would be the benevolent dictators and we would do it better. What arrogance, what narcissism is that?
Well, and look at what's happened in Hollywood. And it's encouraging to see that George Clooney and his left-wing buddy, whose name escapes me now, their new movie, Matt Damon, that's it. Their new movie tanked. And it's no wonder. I, you and I both have advanced degrees. Doesn't it make you wonder why we even went to college when we see some of these dumb movies with these idiotic plots? I just think, oh. And it's Halloween.
Well, isn't it great that we both maintained our ideas about freedom and liberty even after having gone to grad school? I went to Columbia University School of Social Work, for heaven's sake.
And
yet,
I didn't
fall to the dark side simply because I wanted to use my good sense. You know, you're doing such a wonderful job tying all these things together. Did you know that 428,000, I think it was, subscribers left their ESPN/NFL subscriptions?
Really?
Apropos to what you were saying about the taxi driver? People are voting with their feet. They're saying no, no, and hell no.
Well, and it's hitting their pocketbook where it hurts. I mean, these individuals who proclaim to be essentially socialist or communist certainly like capitalism when it benefits their own pocketbook. So, you know, walking away and taking a stand, I think, are both just so important nowadays, because really that's how we gain our power back, is to vote with our feet, but also with our money and taking it someplace else where we don't have to listen to some of this stuff.
Right. I couldn't agree more. It does make me sad that there's such a split in the country now, because whatever you want to listen to, you can get validated. If you want to validate your hard left progressive quote unquote position, you can listen to MSNBC, pretty much any mainstream media today. All you have to do is listen to them and they'll make you think you're so darn smart for kneeling for the national anthem. And I thank you, by the way, for giving a little tease about my special guest next week, J. Lewis Mills, who is another BBS radio host on our network here. After about the first 15-20 minutes of talking about little bites of big issues, as I like to do, we're going to have a debate with J. Lewis Mills, and we are definitely on the opposite side of that issue. And I think it is very healthy and good to be able to discuss those things, and civilly, but very, very vociferously, if you will, to talk about, because this issue really, really defines for a lot of people the line over which they are unwilling to cross.
Well,
it is for me. I think,
I was going to say for you, especially, Karen, because you have such a beautiful singing voice, and I've heard you sing the national anthem. And I can tell that comes from your heart and your soul, because we're both patriots. My singing voice is terrible, which is why I'm going to refrain from singing Happy Birthday to you. But you're absolutely right. It's disappointing to see how polarized the U.S. is about some of these things. But historically, when we look at what's going on in any war that we've ever been in, the enemy does not see you as an African American, a Native American, a Caucasian American. The enemy sees you as an American. And I think we've lost that here, is that that's what we all are, instead of putting in groups.
Without a doubt. And the other thing that bothers me, and which I will discuss among other things, I'll be loaded for bear next week to talk about whether or not the people kneeling even know what they're protesting. Do they know what American history is and what the anthem stands for? You know, they've said, oh, well, we're kneeling for the anthem, but we're really not protesting the country. We're really not protesting the flag or the anthem. We're protesting police brutality. Well, then you had this most recent week in Houston. A lot of people weren't watching, so they didn't care. What was it? 2/3 of the football players in Houston were protesting what their owners said.
Mm-hmm.
That it was the what was it? The
inmates
owners,
running the prison.
Thank you. It was the inmates running the prison. So let's see. If you take offense at that, does that mean that you automatically think that all black people are in prison? I mean, why should that be exclusive only to black people? They make race out of everything. Everything is about race in their mind. And to my way of thinking, and I've said so before many times on Spouting Off, that is the very essence of racism, when you judge people only by the group to which they belong and nothing else.
It truly is. And during the last few minutes here on the show, Karen, since it is Halloween, I love old Halloween movies. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I became a scientist, because I learned so much about science from the sci-fi movies of the 50s and 60s. Rule number one, never experiment on yourself. And rule number two, radiation is really bad if you're a rabbit, an ant, an octopus, or any other animal, because it makes you into a man-eater. I have to know, what is your favorite Halloween?
Well, my favorite serious scary movie is probably Psycho, the original with Hitchcock, the original Hitchcock movie. But my all-time favorite is Young Frankenstein. That has got to be the all-time greatest.
Or was it Frankenstein?
I love that movie. What about you?
Well, I love both of those movies. But one of my favorites absolutely was Psycho and Rear Window, which was more of a thriller. But lately they've been showing some really bad movies on Turner Classic Movies, which I just love. But as far as dumbest movies, I have to say Jaws: The Revenge. That shark was a genius. Not only was he the relative shark, but the relative shark attacked the relatives of who killed his relative. And then suddenly he swims down to the Bahamas because he knew the family was going to be there and ate them. So
he's a shark elephant.
He is a shark elephant, absolutely. Apparently a genius. The other one, do you remember this from the 70s? It was Willard. It was about that socially awkward guy.
With the rats.
Yes. And he had all these up-close visuals of these rats, you know, like they could think and they could read and all those things. And it was followed by Ben, which was about the lead rat. And I admit to watching that last week, and I thought it was hysterical, but I forgot.
Martina, there's a political reference here. Lead rat. I'm sure we could do something. Forgive me. Go ahead. I was getting carried away. Go right ahead.
Yes, we could do that. But did you remember who sang the song for Ben? There was a theme song to Ben. Do you remember who that was?
Yes. Was it Michael Jackson?
Yes. Yes, it was Michael Jackson.
Name that. I can name that song in three celebrities. Michael Jackson.
Yes. So you have such a great memory. It boggles the mind. And frankly, I would rather watch Ben or Willard than anything by George Clooney and Matt Damon. So at least
apparently a lot of people in America agree with you, because the movie is bombing, along with the NFL, along with Hollywood and celebrities. You think it has something to do with the person in the White House exposing the true lies coming from the left? Nah.
No.
Wouldn't be bad.
It's never anybody's fault. We have to take the liberal tactic here. It's no personal responsibility. It's nobody's fault. And I will be celebrating
Except
next Tuesday.
White male Christians. No, it
yes.
is white
yes.
Christian males' fault. If you're white, you are to blame, period. See, to me, that is the most racist thing ever, because it says it doesn't matter your heart, your soul, your mind, your anything. It's really just all about race. We must push back against that. We can't allow that kind of attitude to stand. That's
we
awful.
Certainly can't. I mean, it's just one of those things, and certainly it's changeable. And at least according to some of the college snowflakes out there who may be gender fluid, perhaps they're racially fluid. I tried that the other day and said, you know, I'm racially fluid. And they're like, well, you can't do that. And I said, you're creating a microaggression. No, no, no. We can't do that.
Is that like drinking Monster Black, being racially fluid? Or does that have something to do with Rachel Dolezal? Remember her, who identified as Black, so therefore she was Black?
Yes, yes. I think it's along those lines. You know, it's whatever you want to be as long as it's liberal and they agree with that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. 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 There you go. Gee, we sound just a little bit... You know what it is the listeners are getting a little inside view of what it's like when you and I talk on the phone. We don't talk about hair and nails. We talk about Russia, and you teach me about biology, of which I know almost nothing. It's great. It's such a perfectly mutually beneficial relationship. The last thing we ever talk about is our hair or our nails.
I don't think we've ever talked about that. I think we've always talked about, well, you know, what does this mean and what does that mean? And Karen, in the last couple minutes, did you see that story about Kevin Spacey's brother coming out and saying, our father molested us when we were little, blah, blah, blah. Excuse making.
Well, I thought that was stunning. I guess now the thing you're supposed to do when you're up against a wall is to either say you're going to go after the NRA, as Harvey Weinstein did, or in Kevin Spacey's case, all you have to do is come out as gay and you think people are going to love you. And the only thing the left was worried about is that child molestation and gay people are being thought of in the same breath. It's all about appearance with Hollywood. It's never about reality. It's just about how it appears. That's my problem with Hollywood.
Well, and I don't know if you heard my intro, but I mentioned Corey Feldman. He's been doing the talk circuit, and Matt Lauer was really giving him a hard time. And I understand to a degree that he's asking for money. But nobody believed him as a kid, and nobody was there to protect him. And I think that was partially, you know, what was going on when he had that show, The Two Corys, that I never watched. But I understand that he and Corey Haim were assaulted, and nobody believed them. And that is something
the really
that carries with
them. Sad thing, forgive me, the really sad thing about this is all of this stuff in Hollywood, and I did live there for a year, you know, 9 months, 48 days, and who knows what else. I couldn't wait to get out of there. This is the rule rather than the exception. And so while they've been doing all of that, and that's the culture, as we talk about, they've been lecturing the rest of us about what's morally acceptable and what is, and they know best for the rest of them. This is very instructive for everyone. You shouldn't be listening to these morally bankrupt people, and I don't mean every single person, but the whole Hollywood leftist thing. You shouldn't be listening to them for your moral compass, because they don't have one.
No, in fact, they're
too
morally
strong. Should I have said that? That was really strong and opinionated.
Well, imagine that. You're spouting off. Hey, with that, Karen,
I'm
we are approaching
spouting off.
The
That's
end
what I'm
of
doing.
The show. So I want to thank you for calling into your own show and interrupting your birthday week. So
I want to thank you, Martina, for doing a splendid job filling in for me. I love talking to you on and off the air. I think you did a wonderful, wonderful job. I'll let you do your thank yous and end the show, and I'll be the guest that shuts up. Go ahead.
All right. Well, thanks, Karen. It's been such a pleasure to sub for you. And this has been your Common Sense Professor, Dr. Martina Cartwright, filling in for Karen Cataline today, who will be back next week, as she mentioned, with a can't-miss broadcast where she's going to debate J. Lewis Mills on NFL anthem kneelers. So I hope you will listen and call in to next week's show. You can find me at www.martinacartwright.com. Special thanks to Doug, the fantastic engineer, as well as our advertisers. Thanks for sharing part of your day with me. Until next time, this has been Spouting Off on the BBS Station 1 Network.